Saturday, March the 17th, at the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport, the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of Maestro Gerardo Edelstein, brings its fourth concert of the season, entitled Your Classical Favourites. This programme will feature Max Zorin, the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra's former concertmaster. The programme includes 10 orchestral gems composed over the past 300 years, music known and loved by audiences everywhere. Sir Thomas Beecham called such pieces lollipops because they're small, they're sweet, and beloved by everybody. Waltzes, dances, marches, a programme of absolute delights, and the perfect programme for introducing somebody unused to coming to the symphony orchestra to the treat of live music. Maestro Gerardo Edelstein came into the WVIA Williamsport studio to tell us more.
You know, Fiona, the question is what exactly pop music means. And honestly, you know, I've tried to do a little bit of more research about it, and there are no actually real answers or answers that actually convince me. Because popular music means something popular, something that people could, enjoy it right away, recognize music that has been featured in movies, in TV commercials, music that is very melodic, or music that is played by other groups, you know, not necessarily orchestras. Could be, you know, chamber groups, smaller groups, or jazz groups, rock bands. And for me, it's really hard to make that distinction or just to tell people, okay, here is the line. On this side, you will have all the serious music. On the other side of that line, you will have all the light classical music.
If you based it on popular and used often in films, you could say that Antonín Dvořák's New World Symphony, which you played, would be pops.
Exactly. There are so many pieces of music could be claimed as pop music. And what I did while planning this season, I went online and looked for 100 top classical music pieces. In different websites came pretty much exactly the same pieces over and over and over. For instance, you know, Beethoven's 5, New World Symphony, the Vivaldi 4 Seasons, and I could go on and on. You know, I was puzzled again, you know, with that idea. Well, yes, these are very popular. These are tunes that people really, really like, that they became famous over the years. And some of them are very old, actually, and they are still on top, on the top of the list. For instance, you know, Vivaldi's 4 Seasons, one of the oldest, violin concerti, you know, ever written. What I would say is, for me, there is good music and bad music. And also, there is a fine line, you know, because, of course, you know, some will argue there has to be something in between. There is not, you know, just always good and bad. And it's, of course, it's truth. But when I talk about good music and bad music, it's about music that is coherent, that has some really beautiful crafted, with beautiful harmonies, beautiful melodies, and well-designed with a very coherent form. And it's something that attracts the people immediately to the ears. You know, when you sit down and you have to work so hard to learn about a piece of music, then for me it loses just a little bit of the authenticity. Because, you know, we like to listen to music. Music exists, you know, from the moment we are born. When the baby comes out of the mother's womb, the first thing they do is sing while they're crying. It's a form of music. They cry and they get immediately the sounds, you know, from the environments. And what does a mother do to calm the cry of a baby? Sings, right? So then music is part of our lives since the moment we are born. So I believe that music needs to be open, needs to be something that immediately attracts.
But how personal is that choice? Because we can appreciate that something is a fine piece of music, but not personally, for some reason, be attracted to it, or Alternatively, which I think most of us who love classical music can appreciate, is you'll hear a piece of music and it doesn't gel with you the first time. And after a while, you discover that you've grown to appreciate it and then you've grown to love it.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, Fiona, because if you are really interested in just being more like a musician or a music connoisseur, if that we could put it that way, if you are more interested in exploring the big masterworks in the history of classical music and really get deep into it, you will have to sit down, you know, perhaps several times to appreciate certain types of music that are more complex, more elaborated, you know. Just, I can't ask anybody who listens for the first time a symphony by Gustav Mahler or Stravinsky's, you know, one of his ballet music, or well, I can name, you know, hundreds of pieces. You know, it will be really hard for people who've never heard those pieces before. On the other hand, you have music like we are going to play for this concert that immediately, you know, attracts anybody who has no idea, no notion of what classical music is, will really, really appreciate it right away. So that's why this concert is special for people who are not that close to the classical music or not that familiar with orchestral music, so they can actually hear for the first time a live symphony with some incredible tunes that I'm sure they will last in their heads for long days.
But as obviously a connoisseur, you teach music, you're a music director, you're a maestro. How do you, because your taste is very refined, your taste is very educated. So how do you pick a Pops concert?
Well, that's why it takes time. It really, really, really takes time to make the selections, because it would be very easy just to, okay, say, let's pick the top 10, you know, big hits and let's just do a concert with just that. It has to be something that, you know, you have to put some thought in it, and, you know, you have to have variety. You have to have the variety in terms of the period where these pieces were written. So that's why we are performing Vivaldi, one of the concertos, you know, the Four Seasons. We are performing some dancing music. We'll have the famous Blue Danube Waltz by Johann Strauss II. Rodeo by Copland, the hoedown from Rodeo, the famous Copland ballet, the famous Saber Dance by Khachaturian. So those are very, very uplifting, wonderful pieces of music that transcend a little bit of what, you know, again, we'll call pop or classical, or they're just great pieces of music. We will start the program with one of my favorite overtures by Georges Bizet, the overture from Carmen. I think, you know, even though it's really hard to say, but I think it's my favorite opera by Bizet. And I've done it quite a bit of times in several opportunities. And I played Carmen Fantasy, some of the suites arranged, you know, from the opera, and of course the opera itself. But now I remember that the Carmen Fantasy was performed here by our former concertmaster, Max Zorin, several years ago, and he's coming back, so we are very fortunate to have him back for this concert with another piece. It's not going to be Carmen. This time he's going to play Spring from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and another super virtuosic piece by the Spanish composer Pablo de Sarasate. It's called Zigeunerweisen, meaning gypsy airs. And this is one of those pyrotechnic pieces of music. Well, you know, the violin gets, you know, showcased, and I have to say, of course, the performer is showcased. You have everything that you can ask for in terms of violin music and violin technique. Max was 5 years the concertmaster of the Williamsburg Symphony Orchestra, and we're very fortunate to have him here. But his schedule started getting too busy as a soloist, traveling all over the world. He's still my colleague at Penn State. I don't see him very much, but we are very lucky to have him here in the area and lucky to have him back in Williamsburg. The closing of the concert could not be without the 1812 overture by Tchaikovsky, Again, talking about popular pieces, right? You heard it everywhere. You know, this piece, of course, was written to celebrate the repelling the forces of Napoleon in Russia. It was for one of the anniversaries. The piece includes the famous Marseillaise, you know, the national anthem, a French national anthem. It became very popular here, and it's even played for the 4th of July events. We are not going to have a canon. I just have to warn the people that we cannot have a canon at the CAC, a live canon, okay? It's too dangerous. So we'll manage to make some sounds, some noise, imitating that, but we'll still hear the full overture in its entirety, and I would say we'll leave the audience, you know, the imagination of the for the audience when those canons, are there. Now, it's a fantastic piece of music, and it's the perfect closer for the concert field with really, really great, great tunes. And as I mentioned earlier, bring your families, bring your friends, little kids, big kids. This is the perfect event to introduce people who've never been into the symphony, to introduce them to a concert with a live, large orchestra playing great music.
Gerardo Edelstein, music director and conductor of the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, speaking with WVIA's Fiona Powell about a program titled Your Classical Favorites, to be offered by the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra, with guest violinist Max Zorin returning to the orchestra this Saturday, March 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Arts Center, 220 West 4th Street in Williamsport. For more information, on the web, williamsportsymphony.org, williamsportsymphony.org. It's Your Classical Favorites, featuring the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Gerardo Edelstein with violinist Max Zorin, and it's Saturday, March 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Community Arts Center, 220 West 4th Street in Williamsport. For more information, on the web, williamsportsymphony.org, williamsportsymphony.org. Thanks to you, Fiona Powell.